Now we're going to have our two readings. The first is Galatians 3, verses 1 to 14. That's Galatians 3, starting at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed and crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And our second reading is from Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. That's Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old ways of the written code.
Good morning, everyone. We'll be in Galatians this morning, and it isn't because Kat read it in any wrong way, but we're not going to spend time in Romans 7 this morning. It's a good passage to consider if you're wanting to think through what it means to be released from the law and be found in Christ. But we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it this morning, so sorry, Kat, but thanks for reading. That was great. Let's pray before we come to Galatians, and then we'll get started. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do ask that you would help us to hear the truth from your word and that we would respond properly to your word. Give us hearts to submit to your Spirit's work in our lives, and in your name we ask, amen. Now, in the news notes, there's an outline, and you can follow along there at page 6 of the news notes if you need that. Now, I've discovered some of the scariest four-letter words in the English language. Let me share them with you. Quiz. Test. Exam. How many of you just got chills or some kind of flashback, you know, to those schooling days when you were facing some of those events in your life? Some of you are in those schooling days, and maybe some just test just popped to mind, hopefully that you remembered to study for. That's coming up. You know, these four-letter words certainly can pose huge, overwhelming concern and fear for many of us. One of the things that often plagued me is how I think going into a test or an exam or a quiz, I've mastered this material. Bring it on. I know it. Only to pluck defeat from the jaws of victory. Some simple initial question, you know, what is your name? Something like that. Some simple initial question would stump me. And then the rest of the exam was just panic stations. My mind would go blank, my palms would get really sweaty, and the correct answers that I knew so well just evaporated. They just didn't come to mind. As we study Galatians 3 this morning, observe these foolish Galatians. When asked a simple question, how are we made righteous before the holy God? They gave the wrong answer. It seems they just panicked. Paul had clearly taught them from the Word of God justification by faith alone, even reminding them in verse 11 of our passage before us this morning. Look at verse 11. Law-keeping never justifies anyone before God. The righteous will live by faith. Similarly to my panicked response, the simple exam question, here the Galatians, they seem to almost pluck defeat from the jaws of victory. You see, they did place their faith in Christ. They're genuine believers. But then when it's put to the test, the simplicity of faith alone, just living by faith alone, just trusting Christ alone, for everyday living, it stumped them. They panicked. And they thought that they had to somehow earn some kind of favor. Yes, you've got in by faith alone, but now you have to do it by living a certain way, doing a certain thing. I was told this morning my shirt looks really nice, so I'm anointed because I have a nice shirt. I'm blessed because I have a nice shirt. Look at me. I have a nice shirt. I must be a Christian. That's wrong, isn't it? We know that. And yet we do go to rules sometimes, don't we? So we have 4 points for us as we review Galatians chapter 3 this morning. First one is that Paul had given them the right answer. Verse 1, Jesus Christ crucified. The second point is that he taught them that God blesses them, blesses faith in that answer. Verse 9, those who are of the flesh, or those who are of faith, are blessed along with Abraham. Point 3, Paul also taught God curses the wrong answer. So verse 10 tells us, all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. And the last point is that Paul underscores Jesus' pivotal role as the right answer. Verse 13, Christ, he became a curse for us, so that in Christ the blessing of Abraham and the promised Holy Spirit might come to us through faith. See, I think all of us at various times can panic at the simplicity of faith alone in Christ. We begin to think that somehow we must become law keepers in order to be fully righteous and justified in God's sight. Galatians 3, though, should rouse us again to rightly answer all our days, to rightly answer that faith alone in Christ is enough. So let's get on to point one. You know the right answer. Paul told us in Galatians the right answer from the start. He wrote in verse 1, before your eyes, Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Paul openly and clearly taught them about Jesus' crucifixion. He summarized it in verse 13. So if you look over just a bit, verse 13, Christ, or the King, the Anointed One, the one who's overall in control of everything, Christ redeemed his people when he was hung on a tree, and he took God's curse in their place. So verse 14 says, those who trust in him by faith, even the Gentiles, that word there is nations, all the nations, even the Gentiles receive the blessing of Abraham and the Holy Spirit. So based on Paul's clear teaching, there should be no confusion on what Jesus' death accomplished or what it meant. The law's curse had fallen on Jesus Christ, and those who have faith in him are redeemed, or freed, you might say, from the law's curse. However, the Galatians were clearly giving the wrong answer. As they lived their life, they were thinking Christ plus something else, Christ plus law keeping, or maybe just law keeping was the best thing. They were trying to add to Jesus' work, earn credit with God on what they could do, on what they could achieve. That is the wrong answer. Christ plus anything is the wrong answer. From the beginning of the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul is astonished that believers are turning to a different gospel, which he says is no gospel at all. And then later in Galatians, around chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, we see that error sort of spelled out a bit more clearly. Verse 1 says, Christ has set them free from slavery. If you want to flick over there, you can. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Christ has set them free from slavery. If they think that circumcision and law keeping made them right with God, then they are obligated to keep the whole law. In other words, if you think that some part of law keeping is required, Paul is saying here, if that's your thought, you need to be consistent. You need to keep it all, every little bit. Of course, he says, if you wrongly choose that way of going, that path to justification, verse 4, here's what he says. Here's the warning. You are severed from Christ. You are cut off. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. God will not give you anything. You must earn it all. See, law keeping makes you a slave to the law, because we cannot keep the law fully. And if we try, we are cursed by God. You see, as the Galatians have tried to wander from this right answer of faith in Christ alone, it's given them and sent them in the wrong direction, away from Christ. Now come back to Galatians chapter 3. Look at verses 2 to 5 to see what faith alone in Christ obtains for believers. Paul asks several key questions to put believers back on track. They had started to go off track, away from Christ. He wants to get them back on track. And here's how he does it. He asks three questions. He asks a lot more questions. He asks five questions here. We're just going to look at three of them. Verse 2. He asks them, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Simple question. Did you do good works and be good before God, perform good, I know that's terrible English, perform good before God, and that's how you got the Spirit? Is that it? Absolutely not. The answer that Paul is looking for and that he tells us about, that they heard with faith and they received the Spirit. Look at verse 3. Here's the second question I want to focus on. Having begun with the Spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh or by good deeds in law keeping? Well, the answer again, no. It's the Spirit's work not our works that perfect us in God's sight. It's what God's Spirit does in us in changing us that makes us right before God. Then look at verse 5, third question. Does he who supplies the Spirit, that is God who gives the Spirit, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you, does he do so by works of the law, by your work, or by hearing with faith? Again, the answer, God supplies the Spirit. And God does the miracles through the work of the Spirit because of our hearing with faith. Paul underscores that our works contribute nothing and earn nothing from God. Instead, only those who hear with faith receive the Spirit, who lives with us and works in us and works among us as a body, the Spirit at work in us, making us more like Christ. He is God's agent to work in us. And we receive it by faith. So, hearing with faith in Christ is the only answer that makes us right with God. That's what Paul is teaching. And these next verses, verses 6 to 9, tell us about God's gracious blessing and tell us that this gracious blessing has gone global. It's gone to all the nations. So point two, God blesses the right answer. No matter who gives it, whatever nation you come from, whatever background, whatever you've done, God blesses the right answer. Verse 6 is a famous quote from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, where Abraham believed God's promise. The promise that he gave to Abraham was one of innumerable offspring. Abraham had no offspring at the point when God makes the promise. After about 25 years, he gets one offspring, but Abraham still believes God is going to make him the father of nations, the blessing to many nations. See, for believing God's promise, he was counted righteous in God's sight. Now, any Jew in Paul's day would have said that they were Abraham's sons because they had descended biologically from that one man, Abraham. But Paul tells us that the blessing to be God's sons, to be one of Abraham's followers, as it were, it has gone global. The Gentiles, again, that Greek word is nations. The Gentiles can receive the same blessing as Abraham, who was told in Genesis 12:3, Paul quotes it in verse 6 or 7, that through you the nations will be blessed. I want you to take note of all these blessings that come by faith in Christ. Look at verse 6. It says that we are counted as righteous in God's sight, like Abraham. Now, for the Jews of that day, if you were to talk about Abraham, Abraham was really the high watermark for them. That was a very important person in their life. So to hear that you could be counted righteous like Abraham, if you would believe by faith, that was an amazing promise. Verse 7. You could be a son of Abraham. This is another blessing. A son of Abraham who received these great promises in Christ. I want you to look down with me at verse 29 because Paul makes a connection here that I think is really important in Galatians. See, if you are Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. He's saying you can be one of Abraham's children. He can be your father Abraham, as it were. And that means that you are also in Christ. And Paul here does the reverse at the end of chapter 3. If you are in Christ, you are one of Abraham's offspring. But you could read it the other way. If you are Abraham's offspring, then you are in Christ. You get this great promise by believing God, believing in Christ. Verse 8 gives us another blessing. The nations, the Gentiles, can be justified. Now, for us, you might have to shift your thinking, but think of the news reports out there. What the nations of the world are doing now. Doing some pretty wicked things, some of them, right? Doing some pretty awful things. Our own country doing awful things. And yet God says if they would believe, if they would turn to Christ and believe in Him, they could be justified right before God. Do you find that astounding? You know your own hearts. We're the same, right? Some of the wicked things we do or some of the wicked things we think. And yet God says if we would trust in Christ, we could be justified, made right before Him. Wow. That is a great benefit. Lastly, verse 9, counted in the same blessing as Abraham, that man of faith. Again, this great man of faith, and you can be listed with him. Amazing. What God's grace and mercy does in our lives. In other words, the blessing that comes to those who hear with faith is that we are sons of Abraham, that great man of faith. We have right standing with God. We are justified in His sight, and we are placed in Christ. That is God's precious, eternal Son. We are put in Him, made as Him. Everything here freely given by God. It's not earned. None of it. None of it. None of it is earned. So here, let's apply some of that to where we live right now. For those with faith alone in Christ, consider your standing. Consider this heritage that you have. You see, the heritage stems from the time of Abraham, thousands of years ago. This is no new way of God operating. This is the way God has always operated, giving generously, blessing His people who would trust Him. When life is painful, right now, when there are things in your life that hurt, when there are things in your life that are going wrong, when there are things in your life that are very difficult, challenging, long term, has God left you? Has God abandoned you? No. No, He has not. You are a child of Abraham, a son of Abraham in Christ. God has not forgotten you. You remember He told Abraham, you will be the father, the blessing to the nations. But He also told Abraham, your children are going to suffer. They're going to get in a place that's hard and bad for them. But I will deliver them. He makes a promise. I will deliver them. He makes the same promise in Christ to those of us who are trusting. Your life is hard now. I will deliver you. This world is tough. I will deliver you. God has not left you. He has not abandoned you. Even when you wander into sin, the Galatians were going the wrong way away from Christ. Even when you wander, does God disown you? I don't hear anything. Wow. Okay. You can answer this one out loud. When you wander into sin, does God disown you, child of God? No. 1,000 times no. For the same reason, you are a son of Abraham, a child of God in Christ. Let me apply it to those who do not have faith in Christ yet. If you are here and you don't know Jesus yet, can this blessing be yours? Yes. Yes. This blessing is to the nations. This blessing is to anyone in any country from any background, no matter what you have done. This blessing can be yours. Yes. Come to the gracious and merciful God. Place your faith in Christ, and this blessing is yours. Let me ask you, are you trying to earn God's blessing, or will you accept it by faith? Common in our day is people that say, well, God will let me into his heaven because I'm good. I'm a good person. I do good. I don't hurt anyone. I'm always nice and kind and generous, and I give my $2 to the Salvos every year. You're trying to earn God's blessing. Don't do it. Will you accept it by faith? You see, that brings us to point three. The problem is God curses the wrong answer. If you give the wrong answer to this question of how can you be justified before a holy God, you're under a curse. So the next few verses are that dark lining to the shining, glorious grace of God. Verse 10 sets it out clearly. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Why? Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. See, this verse alone makes it clear that law keeping, keeping the rules, being a good person to earn God's favor, in order to earn God's favor, is not going to succeed and make us right before God. It's a bad plan. It's the wrong approach to a holy God. I want you to imagine for me that your whole life is one big test. Now, not the scary kind of test, just think. It's one big test, the whole of it. So to pass this test, every circumstance, every challenge, and every choice you make has to be 100% obedient, 100% in compliance to what God commands. How many of you would be able to pass the test with 100% compliance, obedience? Everybody raise your hand if that's you. Okay, I'll put my hand down too. You see, you think you meet that standard. If you could be good 100% of the time, then maybe. But I don't think any of us would want to say that we could meet that standard. But Hebrews 4:12 also sets another standard for us. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Okay, you're still imagining that this is a test and this is you put to the test. Could any of us ever say that our thoughts, our motives, our inner desires are 100% pure, 100% loving towards God and others, 100% consistent in godly character? I think if I left the parking lot and just turned to go home, I would be immediately violating the law, because I know my thoughts towards my fellow drivers are not 100% pure or loving or consistent with godly character. All of you in the same boat? Maybe you don't drive, so you would definitely be a lawbreaker if you went out there. See, now you realize why Paul says in verse 11, it is evident that no one can be justified before God by the law. We are not capable to act and be right before God because we are faulty in our heart. We are faulty in our words. We are faulty in our deeds. Therefore, faith is required. Because faith looks to God's promise. He will give us what we cannot earn. No one can earn righteousness. but God will give to those with faith alone in Christ. That's a bit of a contrast, isn't it? Okay, nothing wrong about sport, nothing wrong about having a job and earning money. But sport and our job, business world, says that if we work hard and we earn and we achieve, then we get some kind of merit, some kind of credit, some kind of reward. That's what the world teaches when it comes to sport and when it comes to business. That we can earn credit, we can work hard and achieve a lot. But I want you to think of that in another way, because faith says this. The blessing that comes by faith alone in Christ is God's welfare to the weak and undeserving. Welfare, handout, Centerlink, giving you money for nothing. See, that flies in the face of human pride. I know people that won't take money from Centerlink. They won't take welfare. I will earn my way. You can't do that before God. Human pride says, I can do it myself. God is going to be pleased with my efforts because I'm going to work hard and do good and be a good person. Faith in Christ, though, admits the opposite. I am not good. I need what only God can provide. And I will trust Him to keep His promise and to give the righteousness that I do not deserve. Faith receives God's welfare gladly. All of us in here who have faith in Christ are welfare recipients. We are weak. We are undeserving, and God loves to give generously. So we get to the end of this test. What is the right answer? Paul gives it to us again, verses 13 to 15. It really all comes down to how you answer the question, how are we made righteous before the holy God? If you answer by faith alone in Christ, you have God's Spirit. You are a son of Abraham. You are placed in Christ, God's beloved Son. You are given righteousness, and you are justified before God. Verse 13 tells us why God's answer works. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law to become a curse for us. So when Jesus was hung on that tree and became a curse, it was payment in our place. So those with faith are freed from the curse. And verse 14 tells us that even the Gentiles, the nations, those around us, those wicked people around us, right? The nations can have this blessing of Abraham by putting their faith in Christ, receiving the promised Holy Spirit. See, any other solution will not free us from God's curse that is put upon those who don't keep God's law perfectly. And that would be pretty much everyone. Allow me to point out sort of one more reason, though, where we are not freed from God's curse put upon those who don't keep God's law perfectly. There are other solutions out there, other religions, other teachings and philosophies and schemes where people think that somehow they can do this and that'll make them acceptable. Some other way outside of Christianity, outside of having faith alone in Christ, will make us acceptable. They are mistaken thoughts. Some people believe that Christianity is just one of the ways to God. There's others. There's lots of others. People mistakenly believe. Let me just give you the follow-up of any other answers or any other schemes that come to mind as to how you could be right to a holy God, before a holy God. See, if in any way, If Christianity is true, if the Bible is teaching us truth, if in any way we try and add to or take away or substitute for Christ alone as payment for our sin, some other payment other than what God has offered in giving His own Son. Remember, God gave His Son for us. If we say that there is another way, then we further offend God. If we try and achieve credit, merit, righteousness, justification before God any other way than Christ, we offend God. We doubly offend Him. Because not only have we sinned, but we've rejected the Holy One. The one that God said is perfect. This is my Son. Listen to Him. If you reject Christ, you've doubly offended God. You've said Jesus is not good enough. Jesus is less than perfect. Can I just say, brothers and sisters, and those who don't yet know Jesus, don't pluck defeat from the jaws of victory. Trust, have faith in Jesus alone. Rest in Him alone your whole life long, and receive God's blessing to His children. Now, and for eternity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do see that You are the right answer. You crucified the one who was a curse in our place. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for that. Lord, I do pray for anyone here who does not know You yet, that they would yield, that they would open and allow the Spirit to work in them, that You would open their hearts, make them alive in Christ, free them from slavery to the law. Help us all, Lord, to walk as children of God, trusting each day in only what You provide. In Your name we pray. Amen. We have a wonderful song to sing just to celebrate what God has done, this truth that we've been listening to, celebrating, singing about this whole service. So if you stand and sing with me, Psalm 62, "My soul finds rest in God alone." Stand and sing. So, yeah.